Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the AI Training Podcast. I have a very special guest today, Alex Back. Welcome back.
Why? Oh, welcome back.
We're going to have a blast together. Let's have some fun. So, Alex, you are the CEO of Couch.com, a five-letter.com with meaning amazing, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. I love your podcast and I'm excited to chat.
Cool. Let's start from the top. How did Couch.com come to be?
Great question. I started thinking, I left my company, my former company, Apartment2B, which is an online furniture retail brand. And I left my company after about 13 years, a year ago. And I set off on a worldwide journey to find myself. And I traveled the world and read every business book I could get my hands on. My goal was simple, to get out of the furniture business. But somebody told me about the fact that couch.com, the URL, was available. And so that idea was like percolating in my mind. It was very expensive, mind you, like life savings type expensive. But I started thinking of what I might be able to do with it. And I had an aha moment when I was traveling the streets of Oslo, Norway, where I realized that this could be something much bigger and something that can scale a lot better than I had originally thought. And so I started pursuing it and ended up acquiring the domain. And yeah, we're just building it up right now. It's very exciting.
I have not been to Oslo. I imagine the couches there are beautiful and that's super cool.
Yeah, that's what I went there for. The beautiful couches, of course.
The beautiful Scandinavian couches.
That's what they talk
Love
about.
It. So true. This business, couch.com, I know you've had a chance. You've been doing a bit of a podcast tour lately, showing up on all the popular podcasts. So nice to have you here. Feel like I'm talking to a little bit of a podcast celebrity. So what is couch.com? What are you doing there?
Yeah. So couch.com is a place to find a couch. It seems simple enough, but it's a platform that sets out to answer the toughest question that consumers have when buying a new couch, which is quite simply, where the heck do I buy a new couch? Nobody really knows. Even people in the industry, friends of mine, colleagues, we all joke about the fact that we ourselves don't really know where to buy great furniture. And the reason is that it's as much as it's saturated in some ways with direct-to-consumer brands these days that have popped up over the last 10 to 15 years, it's still very underrepresented in the online space, the furniture industry and the couch retail world. The other thing that's really difficult is that people just generally don't feel very comfortable buying a couch. That's not a pun. Comfortable couch. They're not comfortable finding a comfortable couch. And the reason is it's just something that no one really knows very much about as a consumer. It's very much like the car buying industry where you know certain things and you've bought them before. You use one every day, but you don't really know about how the business works. So the goal of couch.com is to educate consumers to remove that sort of veil of mystery, if you will, to make people feel comfortable and then gather some information from them to point them in the right direction. Because there's a lot of information or there are a lot of variables that go into a couch buying experience that people don't really expect when they first set out.
It's filled with all sorts of challenges and things that an educated consumer can learn about couches at couch.com. Great name. Love it. You're an interesting guy. What's been one of your biggest lessons learned in entrepreneurship over the years?
For me, whenever I get asked a question like that, the first thing that comes to mind is that it's something you hear often. It's don't listen to other people too much. And how that applied to my personal history is that with my former company, Apartment2B, we were very successful, but it took a long time to achieve that very scalable success that we did in the end. And our trick was really taking the slow and steady approach. That's not smart strategy for every single business or organization. But for us, it worked. And as much as people tempted us and industry tempted us to supercharge it at certain points, we really found a lot of comfort and ultimately success in taking this slow and steady route. So we saw others pop up around us that raised a ton of money and came and went. And there's so many difficulties and challenges in the furniture industry that it really behooves one to take their time and figure it out. So take your time and don't necessarily listen to anybody else is the advice that I would give to some people in certain cases. Mine was one of them.
Slow and steady wins the race. Don't listen to everyone. I like it.
Yeah.
What would you say your biggest challenge is as a leader?
Personally, my biggest challenge as a leader is that I need everybody to like me. And that's a very difficult... We're getting a little deep here, Mark, early this morning, but it truly is my greatest sort of crutch. It's an advantage because it really allows me to find ways to empathize with people and connect with them because I inherently want or need them to connect back with me. So it can be great for communication. But if someone's not doing their job very well, you can imagine that wanting to be their friend and wanting them to like you is not exactly the easiest hurdle to overcome because sometimes as a leader, you have to give it to people straight and be the bad guy. So that's been my personal challenge the most. And I think a lot of people struggle with that too, just the balance between being the sort of amicable leader, I just said like 19 times, being this amicable or benevolent leader or dictator as a CEO and also just getting the job done. So that's always been the biggest challenge for me as a leader.
I think I can relate to that. It's hard sometimes when you want everyone to like you and your role or the nature of what you do, you can't always be the good guy. I appreciate you sharing that. When it comes to prioritizing, there's probably no shortage of things that you have to get done. What helps you prioritize what's most important?
That's a tough one. And that's a challenge I think that every startup founder struggles with as well. Prioritization is very difficult. And to bring it full circle to a comment I made a few minutes ago, everybody's telling you to do certain things. There's a lot that attracts you in different directions. I listen to podcasts and read articles every single day, and I get excited by things or interested, and I get nervous that I'm not doing something that I should be doing. And at the end of the day, sticking to one's goals and priorities and what's the most important thing is really sort of paramount to one's success. Do I achieve it all the time? Not necessarily, but my practice at not listening to other people and just that sort of mantra rolling through my brain at all times helps me focus on what is most important, even though the new and shiny may be attracting me. And I think that it relates a lot to just this concept and term AI. It's something that really has gotten in everybody's minds. It's like the thing that everybody feels like they need to master, they need to incorporate it into their everyday life. And sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. Focusing on the most important thing to your business or to your personal life is still, I think, the most important thing.
AI, it's a tool, right? But it can only help to such degree that your priorities are your priorities. And there is a definite case of shiny object syndrome with so many new tools coming out. Let's talk a bit about AI. How have you been able to leverage it in your business?
There's a front end, meaning user facing way to answer that question. And then there's back end, but I'll start with the back end. So Our entire site thus far, our strategy for couch.com was to start with a content first approach, meaning before we build the ultimate platform, which is going to sort of be an advertising platform for the furniture industry on a national scale, where there's going to be local listings for furniture businesses, mom and pops and regional chains alike, brick and mortar and online. The first thing we did was to start with content, making tons of articles and videos and images to answer some of the toughest questions that people have when buying a couch. So that's what we've been focusing on in the last 6 months. And AI has assisted a lot in that. We used AI to write a lot of our articles or assist us in writing a lot of our articles. I know it's taboo to say that AI wrote everything. It didn't. We edited it heavily, but we used AI a lot to gather information into one place. As far as our images in the furniture industry and interior design, it's a sea of pretty images. So much so that they almost don't resonate anymore, I think, with consumers. Like a beautifully styled room. And I would say only a certain percentage of people are like, whoa, that's really nice. I'd like all the products that are in that room. Most people just chalk it off to, oh, that's a pretty room that I'll never have or something to that effect. So we used AI to create images that really told stories that we would never be able to capture in a photographic sense. So abstract images, like someone getting lost in a sea of couch cushions because they were having trouble making a decision, right? That's not something you could be like, all right, let me hire a photographer and get a sea of couch cushions here. No, we literally use Midjourney to have a sea of couch cushions overcoming somebody is an example of how we used it to our advantage from a visual perspective. And then just tons of back-end data organization and things of that nature. AI has been really helpful. On the front end, we intend to use AI heavily with Couch.com to augment the user's experience of finding and ultimately buying a couch. The main thing is making people feel comfortable and educating them in the process. But first, we have to get information from them. So the entry point to Couch.com eventually will be an AI-powered quiz where consumers will come and we will ask them quite literally, what are you looking for? What are the most important things to you? Timing, comfort, design, budget. These things don't always work in tandem, and they are four factors, for instance, out of the 50,000 that you need to consider when you're buying a new couch. Needling in on what's most important to people, using AI to funnel that information into a personalization strategy to help the consumer find the couch of their dreams is really important, a really important part of our strategy and the user experience at Couch.com.
Amazing. The thing you said earlier about, you know, not listening to people because there's this intuitive part of being an entrepreneur. How do you balance that with mentorship and finding mentors?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not to be a broken record, but for me, it applies. I have a lot of people in my network. I started really young in e-commerce and business. And so I built up a lot of great contacts along the way. What I found is every time I talk to someone who is smarter than me, and I don't say that in a derogatory sense, they literally are smarter than me, but in a specific area. So I think it's important to remember what type of advice you're seeking from a mentor or a wise elder or whomever you're seeking advice from, because they often have a specific focus. If you talk to an accountant, they're going to give you, they're going to have a financial take about how you do certain things. But they also may have an opinion about how your website font looks. Like, I don't know that's the person you should be listening to. Okay, but that seems obvious. Ultimately, I think it's about something I said before, just not listening to everything, trusting that you, or me in this case, have the best sort of most well-rounded vision for this company. And when people give you advice or opinions, even if you really trust them, I think it's to be taken with a grain of salt. And I think good mentors understand that. They're not going to just be like, yes, whatever you say, and do literally what they say. I think it's everybody has opinions, especially people who have done stuff and have succeeded. So when they give them to you, I think it's about filtering them in a way that's going to be valuable to you versus detrimental.
That's great advice. Tell me, Alex, what are you most excited about?
The furniture.
Whatever. Definitely. It's an open question.
Yeah.
You can take it anywhere you want.
I love making. So when you and your listeners check out couch.com now and in the future, you see a lot of Alex there, me making silly videos and just having fun with all of these concepts that have that we're educating customers on, or that people have questions about, like negotiating in a furniture store and things of that nature. Like, I love talking about things and presenting them in an entertaining way. So that's really on the streets of Oslo, Norway, what drove me towards this type of direction was like, oh, I can make a couch content site that is actually helpful and entertaining. So I'm excited to really continue doing like entertaining and funny content surrounding this. But in a larger sense, I really know that this industry, being a furniture marketer for so long, is missing something like couch.com, which is a platform that's literally exists to help people find and buy couches. And I know that a lot of furniture companies are struggling to find advertising that works for them these days. They're going to be really happy and excited by this, especially when it works. So ultimately, that's what I'm excited for, but I like to make silly stuff too.
That's great. I know with your content, you've got some stuff about like celebrity couches. How do you figure out what celebrity has what couch, and where does that all come from?
That's funny, because that's an example of something that where AI was extremely helpful to help scour the internet for information that was already out there. That's an example. Like, we have an article or two about, like, as you said, like celebrity couches, who has what couch, or like what's been written about couches in people's homes. Ultimately, I think that's, people like to know this. It's Architectural Digest has sold a lot of copies based on their celebrity sort of partnerships or editorial exposés. So yeah, using AI to find what's been written about like Mark Wahlberg's big sectional, and then aggregating that data in one place was helpful. But also, I live in Hollywood, baby. I live in LA. So we're a very celebrity driven community here. And I think that offers us a little bit of a unique perspective on that subject. And I intend to build upon that too. I definitely have some C-list and B-list friends out there, not really A-list, but I hope to intend to bring them to couch.com to have some fun with me at some point.
That's cool. Tell me a bit about your experience buying your last couch. How'd that work?
Yeah. So the last couch I got was, God, it looks horrible right now, but they deserve to see. So I just moved into my own new place a number of weeks ago. So I'm still getting it ready. But I bought a couch recently from one of the factories where I'm basically partnered with. So for me, I do know where I want to buy a couch, but that was ultimately a decision that was driven by cost and other factors and ease and convenience. I think the more relevant story is where I bought the rest of my furniture, which is funny because I was talking with my former business partner from Apartment 2B the other day and reminding him that neither of us even know where to go to buy furniture. I ended up at Living Spaces, which is a big regional chain here on the West Coast. Big furniture store. You're in Florida, so similar to Rooms to Go type of environment, something for everybody. Just a big furniture store, not where you would expect like a cool direct-to-consumer brand founder to go buy furniture. And you know where I went? Right to the back of their clearance section. And I was picking and popping all the little clearance items and things that I felt were like a great value. So I almost went bargain hunting in a huge furniture store because I thought that's where I would get the best deal and where I'd get the quickest results. To tie that into the concept behind couch.com, that's what was most important to me. It wasn't the design. It wasn't the comfort. It wasn't really much of anything except the two factors where I needed to furnish an entire house. So budget was important, not the biggest thing. And timing. I had no furniture. I like instant results. And I think there are a lot of people out there like me. I don't think that I'm like the anomaly. Some people want to say, yes, I need it tomorrow. And that's going to weed out a whole bunch of retailers that sell or market to customers online. So for me to go to a place like couch.com and say, I need it tomorrow, and have filtered results by all these different retailers in my area and online where I can get it tomorrow, would have been a very useful tool. Instead, I just took my friend's pickup truck and went to the local furniture chain store and started bargain hunting for a few hours.
So in your mind, will there be like a clearance section on the site that gets people who have that similar, I just need to fill a house with a couple couches and give me the best price. Help me.
Absolutely. And in fact, right now we have a great post that was from the last few weeks. So it's very relevant about the top 10 online clearance centers to shop. One little furniture industry tip I can give everybody, it may not be a shocker, but every furniture retailer is overloaded with inventory. Why? Because 2023 was one of the worst years for the furniture industry in a long time. And everybody has to buy and make inventory choices well ahead of time. So you find a lot of furniture retailers these days looking to get rid of inventory as cheaply as possible. This is a great time to bargain hunt in the furniture industry, especially like surrounding the end and the beginning of the year. That's a big product turnover time. So if you walk into a clearance section of a furniture store right now and it's not completely full of good stuff, send me an email. I would like to know about that one place because they must be selling and doing something amazing. Most retailers have like tons of inventory in their clearance section and things like that.
Good point. I'm excited to see the site progress and see where
Mark,
the content goes.
I'm so sorry.
Goes.
We're going to have to edit this out. Yeah. I have a knock at the door. Let me just go answer it and I'll be
yeah,
right
no
back.
Problem.
I'm so sorry.
We'll cut it. No worries. And we're back. So I wanted to ask you about what you are inspired by. Like, you're doing all this content. There's certainly people that maybe you have as watching what people are up to. What inspires you to create original content?
Question. I think the inspiration for me comes from, well, okay, hold on. Let me say specifically regarding creating content. What I think I enjoy most is that I know that it's very valuable, because whenever I talk to a friend or a colleague, like they have the same questions and they feel so happy when I give them advice. The furniture industry is like the car industry in that if you have a friend that tells you how to get the best deal on a new car or a lease, you're like, thank you. My goodness, thank you so much. Like, I had no idea generally. So I get inspired knowing that like I'm giving information that's actually helpful and I'm not just making stuff for the purposes of making stuff because I have to. I think that everything we're talking about at Couch.com is actually valuable and helpful. But there's a lot of great, interesting, funny content on the internet, on the social platforms, on YouTube. And I get inspired by a lot of that stuff just to make otherwise, for lack of a better term, boring or not that interesting content and make it fun and interesting. I think it's a skill and it's something when I see other people doing it well, like explaining some difficult financial concept on a great YouTube video, you're like, oh, this is great. Or an awesome podcast. Like, wow, I didn't understand that before. So those things inspire me, as I'm sure they inspire you.
Yeah, having a balance between some entertainment, a little utility, a lot of utility, and something that ideally people revisit. So it's cool. I'm excited to see how the content evolves as the tools that make content easier evolve as well. As an entrepreneur, what are some of your tools that you've started to use that have become daily staples, specifically around maybe AI?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will use GPT to organize data like most people do, but we're aggregating a lot of lists and taking things like transcripts and turning them into something else. I think like data transformation and light analysis. We're not asking AI to solve all of the couch industry's problems, but we are asking it to take a list of links of all these websites and give us just a list of websites that we can give to our readers and things like that. Mm-hmm. One thing for images, because in the furniture industry, I don't know that there's been enough AI training out there for the visuals, like on a platform like Midjourney, for instance. You get a lot of weird stuff with prompts for furniture. Think about what may happen when you put in the term, show me an armless sofa. for whatever reason, it'll interpret it like arms should be coming out of it or something like that, because there haven't been as many prompts for armless sofa as there have been for attractive female superhero with wielding daggers. There's been plenty of that and a lot of refinement. So that's interesting. So one of the programs that I've used that does a great job with visuals is ideogram.ai. That's something that has been really helpful to me. And just found it's like, for whatever reason, filters through some of that like AI noise when it comes to furniture images. Mm-hmm. And it seems to intuitively understand a little bit better what I'm looking for. And yeah, one thing I use just to gather information for myself, I'm a big skimmer when it comes to reading, but if I'm listening to something, I really connect with it. So I turn almost all of my text, anything that's longer than an email, I'll use AI voice assisted audio to give it to me while I'm working or exercising. And I find that I absorb information a lot better. And it's so engaging these days. Like, the tools are so good. Over the last few months, they've gotten so much better when it comes to understanding and interpreting and ultimately putting a voice behind a lot of text on some of these AI platforms, like Speechify is something I use all the time.
Yeah, I was just thinking, let's dig into that a little bit, because I recently got back to iPhone, which no idea how I went so long without it. And the ease of use with some of the text-to-speech is just amazing. Tell us a little bit how you're using Speechify.
Yeah, so essentially I get a ton of emails every day with like article roundups.
Yeah.
They're probably leveraging AI to find those articles or have some kind of alerts about what their readers will find interesting. They'll aggregate those and put them in like an email roundup. We mm-hmm. all get them in some form in every industry. So then I will spend 15 or 20 minutes every morning or afternoon when I get to it, opening those emails and skimming through to find the articles that I think are most relevant to me and what I'm thinking about right now. And I'll open them in separate tabs. Then I'll go to them and just literally copy the URLs and paste them into Speechify. And each time I do that, it just, it takes all of that information and puts it in the library there. And then when I'm ready to listen to it, my favorite lovely English woman will read it to me in a wonderfully AI-powered voice.
That's great.
Do you do something similar? Is this a me thing?
I haven't. I think that is a you thing, but we're all unique and have our own little quirks. But I do like that. I think that's something that I'm going to try. So thank you for the suggestion. So all you need is a link to the URL and thrown in Speechify, and then you can pick it up on your mobile phone when you're going for a run or what have you, and you can process it. Is that right?
That's literally what I do. And I just have my Speechify library is what if I'm playing basketball or exercising, that's just have my earbuds in and I'm on Speechify. And that's when I get my articles. It's great. I love it. I have no complaints.
That's a great pro tip. One thing that has been quite useful is, not on the audio side, but taking, if there's any training video or long YouTube video that you don't want to spend an hour, if you can copy that transcript and turn it into a custom GPU, now you can dig into the details. That's been, like you talked about, that the way you manipulate data and taking some input and transforming it into something else is always interesting to hear about how other people are using technology, because it is so personal to us, right? I've often said that no two people are using ChatGPT the exact same way. We all have our own little things right. That we've discovered that it can do. And I love having these conversations to hear how people are using these tools. How do you prioritize your health? I understand you're using this. Is there anything else you do for productivity to reset after a long day, or are you a morning exerciser? What's your, how do you stay in such great shape?
I staying in shape is important, and I interview people as well, and on for couch.com, and somebody, a very successful CEO, said recently, even if it's 20 minutes a day, you gotta move your body around. And so even though I've been a sort of a lifelong exerciser myself, I don't even think about it very much. And on the days where I'm like, oh, this I'll skip today, I'm like, no, Chinadu said, he said 20 minutes a day, and that's the key to success. And I'm like, I can do 20 minutes. So I really believe in that. And you hear it all the time. You see a lot of, or at least I do, a lot of advice and content surrounding how important exercise is to cognitive function. I wish I felt the same way about sleep. I don't get enough sleep personally, but when it comes to exercise, like that's been one of my big things for, and yes, morning, sometime in the morning. I'm not like a 5 a.m. exerciser, but generally I'll take a break in the morning, my morning hours, even though it's difficult to turn off the noise from, you know, 9 to 10 or whatever. And that's the time I feel like I'm most needing of exercise. And then it pays dividends for the rest of the day. So I think that's really important. The timing of your exercise, when can you get yourself to perform at a high level exercise-wise? And when will you get the most benefit of focus? That and mushroom coffee. Those have been my big things to staying focused.
It's so funny. It's like that and mushroom coffee, of course. Can't forget it. That's cool. Yeah. I'm not drinking mushroom coffee. Why should I be drinking mushroom coffee?
I have no idea, Mark. No, I'm just kidding. Mushroom coffee, it just really helps with focus. It helps me with focus. It's caffeinated, so that helps.
Yeah.
But it also just really, yeah, I don't know how else to say it. Like sometimes I feel extremely focused on something, almost to a degree that I'm have to check myself. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm very dialed in. Mushroom coffee. I had it 30 minutes ago. I don't know exactly. I'm not like a big mushroom science person yet, but I started trying it about a month or two ago, and it's been very helpful for my focus.
Very cool. You got a good mushroom guy? Who's your go-to supplier?
Nah, it's not legal in all states yet. No, not those kind of mushrooms, but I think there's some similar principles. But anyway, the brand I got courted by online after I told the Instagram or TikTok gods that I was interested in learning more about this, what is called Ryze, R-Y-Z-E. They have a monthly subscription thing. It's super easy. I guarantee there are plenty of them. This one has been good for me and it's worked. So use promo code Alex at Ryze.com. Just kidding.
Yeah, hit the link below. No, that's cool. Mushroom coffee. Love that. Great. I'm a big coffee drinker myself. Ever made the switch over to mushroom? The taste, is it, you typically take a black mushroom coffee or you add a little something to that?
All right, well, here's what I do.
Please.
I like very sweet coffee. I'm not like a coffee connoisseur. I know what I like. I like very strong coffee with very sweet sweetener. It's so funny. One of the seasons of the show, True Detective on HBO, these two cops were getting together after not seeing each other for 25 years. And one says to the other, can I get you a cup of coffee? And he said, yeah, I'd love one. He's, you still like it the same way? He goes, yep, make it like dessert. And that's what I like. But I digress. So I make my mushroom coffee like dessert. I don't love the taste. And I really like my experience of tasting my morning coffee. So I'll actually like down it. I'll just put some coffee in and mix it with water and the mushroom coffee, put some creamer in it, like a bunch, and I'll just down it. I don't know if that's the best way, but that's how I do it. I don't try to savor it. I'm just like, serves a utilitarian purpose. And then I go to my like espresso coffee mate mixture to get the full effect.
It was yesterday, actually, I went to McDonald's and I'll take a little milk in my coffee. I'm from Toronto, so that's totally normal, but they don't even have the option for milk at McDonald's anymore. It's only cream. There is, at least in Florida, and I know McDonald's are supposed to be the same everywhere. The only way that they were going to give me milk was to sell me like a child's milk to go along with it. I don't know what's changing, but
child's milk?
I did because I misunderstood what they were saying, and then I immediately refunded it because I just had the coffee black. But yeah, strange world we're living in where McDonald's is not allowing you to have milk. They just, not even an option. It's cream.
That's cream very, bust. Very interesting. Yes. Yeah. And for those good Canadians like you, this is a new concept, perhaps. There's still a lot of milk in Canada, I bet.
There's plenty of milk in Canada. So you're helping people get on the couch. Are you going to be talking about ways for people to get off the couch? Because when they get these couches and they're so comfortable, I feel like you have a responsibility to help them do both.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark, because there is a health and wellness category at couch.com. A little bit underrepresented at this moment, but we do have a few great posts on things like, I don't know if you're familiar with Couch to 5K. Couch to 5K is just...
It's a race?
It's more of an internal race. It's like an individual challenge. Get off the proverbial couch and start running. It's start slow, start with a walk. Then it's build up to a 5K. I don't think there's an organization that's behind that, but if there were, that would be an example of a great partner for us at couch.com. As I said, something I believe in personally a lot, just physical fitness and balance in one's life with exercise. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of content like that. But first, we have to make sure people like buy the couches and are very comfortable on them. That's the main focus of couch.com, but I'll get them off of them too. I will.
Yeah, that full circle responsibility to help people get on the couch, off the couch, back on the couch.
We have to get them back. We get them outside. We got to get them out. You're tired. You got to put your feet up. It's going to heal your feet after a long run, after that 5K.
Couches. I never thought I'd be talking so much about couches. I know maybe when you've been in the furniture industry a long time, so there's probably so many things that you've learned about couches. What surprised you about couches that you did not know?
Yeah, I think a good thing to mention there is they're so much simpler in construction than people think they are. And you get sold a bill of goods from a brand like Restoration Hardware, which is extremely premium, expensive. And you think that there's a real big difference in between the construction of one couch and another. But after spending time in factories and talking to many furniture manufacturers and makers over the years, I wouldn't say a couch is a couch because there absolutely are different materials and you want to make sure that you choose the materials that you enjoy most, that most fit your lifestyle or sitting style to be more literal. But ultimately, there really shouldn't be thousands of dollars in difference between couches unless there's something extremely ornate. A lot of it is you're paying more for the brand or cachet or the restoration hardware behind something. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is that you can find a really great couch for a lot less than you think. Cliffhanger.
That's good advice. I think a little bit about the car industry and that you never want to be taken and get a bad deal. How can people avoid that experience of feeling like they got had and they're sitting on a couch that they maybe paid too much for? Or just what's the best way for people to make educated decisions and get a good deal? Because we all want a good deal, right?
That's an amazing question. I was talking to somebody the other day and they equated what I'm doing in couch.com to like a Travelocity or Expedia. You go to these websites as a user, and what's the number one variable? You want to find the best deal. Now, you have other criteria in place, like I only want nonstop flights. I don't want a layover, or I'm looking for this first class, business class, only economy, whatever. There are variables to be sifted through, but ultimately, your purpose is getting a good deal, which is to say that it is a main criteria point. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to find the cheapest couch. People want to feel like they got a good deal. I think the operative term that we've always used in my former business was value. We didn't have the cheapest couches at Apartment 2B, but we always believed that we had pound for pound the best value in the online D2C furniture space because we combined extremely great designer quality with a relatively affordable. So getting a good deal is very important to people. And I think we're going to have a lot of content about finding the best deal, even if it's not at the least expensive retailer. So I think going for consumers, just really recognizing that getting a good deal is important to you is extremely important and is actually a variable in your search, because there are places where you'll never feel like you got a great deal. If you go into a very high-end furniture store, you're going to be wondering, did I get taken here? Did I get hosed on the price here? Is this really worth it? And you're never really going to find out the answer to that.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
When it comes to books, you're an entrepreneur, avid reader. What's on your desk or your Audible right now? What are you listening to? You're obviously an audio guy. What do you like? Or one of my favorite questions, this could be books you go back to, your revisits, or your just things that you're digging into now.
My revisits are very simple. They're all about
productivity.
There's not much that I like to do over again. Like, I'm not the type of guy who will watch a movie multiple times. To me, that seems agonizing. I don't know why. So I don't go back to things very often unless I really find a utilitarian purpose in doing so. And for me, I think reminders about productivity tips, those are very helpful, because we've talked, this has been a theme in our discussion today. It's very easy to get distracted by the new and the shiny. And especially as an entrepreneur, you're always juggling 30 different things at one time. Focusing on the most important thing, for having tools to help you do that, is very valuable. Another thing I go back to is inspiring entrepreneurial stories. If I'm ever feeling like lost or just needing of a little bit of a push, there's plenty of content around. Like, the How I Built This podcast is unbelievable. If it's this guy Raz, I think it's very popular. He even wrote a book called How I Built This, where he aggregates some of his top 10 list of sorts of his guests and ideas expressed. So it's a pretty broad one there. But have you heard of the How I Built This podcast?
I have not. Okay. It's always great to be introduced to a new valuable source of information. So I appreciate that. The productivity one, is there a book or something that you like? You said you revisit the productivity category. Is there a specific author or someone that really enjoyed?
I wish I was a super smarty and could give you like the best answer on this one. However, I have a little bit of an abstract answer. So no, I don't have anything specific. It's similar to how I feel about parenting. So I have two young kids. They're wonderful. Love you guys. But very challenging. And all kids are, right? They'll push your buttons. They'll do whatever they can to just present challenges and test boundaries. And for me, parenting advice is a very dynamic thing. You're always changing. The kids are growing. Your issues are changing. The challenges are. For me, it's more about getting new ideas or being reminded of old ones. New perspectives on the same subject matter can be really valuable. You don't necessarily have to follow them. But for instance, I'll listen to a parenting podcast that'll be like, say this to your kids instead of that. I'm like, oh my God, yes, that's great. Oh, and it reminds me, I used to do this and it really worked. I'm going to bring that back. There's no parenting strategy that works for more than 2 weeks. That's my thing, right? Okay, guys, we're going to do a point system for your Fortnite time. And it's going to work like this. It only works for so long until everybody falls out of favor. And the same thing goes for my productivity. It's just, I need to listen to 30 minutes of productivity stuff right now. So I'll go on Blinkist. Blinkist is a great service that takes very popular books and sizes them down to 12 to 15 minutes, like an audible version of Cliff's Notes was. And there I'll just listen to, I'll rifle through 3 or 4 books that give you a few tips and tricks, and I'll jot down a few notes, and I find that to be
perfect. Appreciate that. And one more for fun. If you were to give advice to your younger self, say mid-20s, that guy, what advice would you have?
I'm going through a divorce, so there's certain things that come to mind with that. No, just kidding. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know. I think what comes to mind most, my business partner, he's about 10 years older than me. And we came up together in the e-commerce space and figured it out as we went. And I've always been the type of guy, I think I know everything. And I have a lot of confidence in things that I know, and I can be very resolute about them. But he would always say to me, he's like, when you get older, you get wiser. And he would use that in a defensive way at certain times, or I don't know exactly why, but he mentioned always about being wiser. Now I understand that. So my advice to myself would be, don't think that you know everything. I wish I sought out more information along the way. And to tie it full circle, with AI and all the tools that are available to us now versus 15, 20 years ago, when I was getting started, like, that information is so much more readily available. So I would encourage myself as a young entrepreneur to really spend time to absorb a lot of information and stories of other people versus just go and you think you know what you're doing. But really, there's usually a better path for almost anything you do.
Great advice. Alex, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate your time, and let's do this again. All the best with Couch.com. It's a wonderful journey, and can't wait to follow the story.
Thank you, Mark. And when you need a new couch, you know where to go.
Amazing. Thanks so much.